The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this webinar on Disciple CDP. This is our 31st webinar, I believe. Elena?
I'm not sure, but we can say 31st.
Yeah, it is. I just confirmed it's the 31st.
Good. Can we start?
Yes.
Okay, we will continue with the instructions of CDP given to her by Master DK. And today we will discuss the instruction for January 1939. Found in Dyna 1, page 524. And it goes, "My brother, you have made a real progress. That is the first thing I wish to say to you. A little more clear thinking and acceptance of the facts which you know about yourself will set you free." These are the words of Master DK. Now, she's finding difficult to accept the facts about herself, but only by accepting them, she will be free to express them and fulfill her soul's purpose. Now, during the 1939, the transiting Chiron, which is the major energy of adjustment, was moving over the natal Cancer ascendant and activating the progressed ascendant. And progressed Neptune, the esoteric ruler of the Cancer ascendant, indicating the soul purpose. We can put on the screen the quadra wheel.
Okay.
Okay. For January, for January 1939. Okay. We wouldn't be moving the quadra wheel. I'm leaving that for the people to adjust the process themselves, because each planet is moving according to the day and time. Okay. Now, the natal ascendant in 4 degree Cancer 25 also carries a very important midpoint involving the Chiron energy, Chiron MC midpoint, which falls at 4 degree Libra 41, and Uranus Pluto midpoint in 4 Cancer 09. So these are the energies which would be influencing the whole 1939 year process. Okay. This combination of energies brings into focus also the summit of the tower she built in her garden, because the garden is going to be used in this instruction, which DK is bringing through its presentation at different ideas again. Okay. So the summit, you know, is represented symbolically also by the midheaven in Pisces, where Pluto is the esoteric ruler, and Libra fifth house, where Uranus is the esoteric ruler. That's why the Uranus-Pluto midpoint is important, okay, in relation to the soul purpose, because it falls right on the ascendant in Cancer there, okay? And the fifth house involvement is because of the causal body as the container of gifts to be creatively expressed and stimulated by the soul's love, love of the soul, okay? Now, Uranus-Pluto is very powerful first ray combination, strengthening the first ray of the summit of the tower, which is found upon the highest mental subplane where we find the abstract mind. Now, she needed to build the Antakarana to the abstract mind and utilize it in the creative expression. Transiting Uranus, moving over the progressed midheaven there, and in aspect to the natal Pisces midheaven, with its midpoint Chiron Neptune, falling in 28 Aries 58, in exact aspect to the nodal, natal nodal axes, which are found exactly in 28 Virgo Pisces 58. So you see this Chiron Neptune midpoint importance here, in relation to the, also to the nodal axis and to the midheaven, okay? Indicating Antakarana to the first abstract subplane of the mental plane. That is one interpretation of the nodal axis, and because they have a number of interpretations. Now, the confirmation of the Antakarana is there with an added soul contact provided by the transiting Jupiter going through the ninth house, her second ray soul ruler, and it is the Aquarian ninth house of the abstract mind, which is ruled by Jupiter esoterically. It's the esoteric ruler. And it is entering Pisces, which is the conditioning energy of the summit or the MC in Pisces there, okay? Where Jupiter is also the exoteric ruler. And it will be by transit moving over that MC. And by the end of 1939, it will reach an exact contact also with the natal nodal axis, okay? Now, the instruction continues by BK saying to her, your problem is difficult. It is not based upon the difficulties of your life, for your life problem is not at all unusual. Though you have given unusual attention to it. It is based upon the fact that you have a six-ray personality, six-ray astral body, and a six-ray physical body. This is another fact she had to accept and has difficulty in accepting it, but particularly energetically. Now, he says, this constitutes a terrific combination of forces, but you assumed the responsibility of handling these forces in order to break the six-ray hold which that type of energy has had on you for three lives in sequence. Now, we can have the same personality ray for more than one life. And in this case, she could have had the same six-ray personality for three lives in sequence. And you know, Moon is the primary planet relating, ruling the past lives, which is found here in Pisces decanate of Scorpio in her natal chart. But she assumed the responsibility. You see, Saturn in Pisces indicates the end of cycle. This was the incarnation when she had to conclude this hold of the sixth ray. But as we learn, she didn't manage to do so. You know, to break the hold of the sixth ray, Pluto, the breaking energy of the first ray, ruling Pisces and Scorpio, the placement of the moon of the past lives, you see? Because her soul purposefully put together three six-ray vehicles for this incarnation. Personality, astral body, and physical body. For her to finally conclude the whole of this six-ray. Now, transiting Saturn in Aries through the year activates the natal solar arc and progressed moon, ruler of the Cancer ascendant, and together with transiting Jupiter, Uranus, and Neptune, they activate the progress ascendant and the natal and progressed sun, representing the personality. We note that the progress ascendant is also moving through Leo, and Leo represents also the threefold personality, together with the moon Saturn energies, also related to the personality. Okay? Now, if we put the chart of the lunar eclipse in May, thank you, and we see that it fell on the natal moon there. You see the importance of the past incarnation, it's emphasized here. And we know that her natal moon is veiling Neptune. And it's placed, as I already said, in Pisces decanate of Scorpio there, 12 degree 22. And it carries a midpoint of Neptune Pluto. You see the emphasis of the same energies, okay? Which this midpoint is found in 12 degree Taurus 20, very close to that moon. And the transiting Pluto in Cancer makes a sextile to the natal Mars and square the progressed Chiron in 29 degrees, okay? We don't see the progressed Chiron here because this is just the chart of the eclipse, okay? We will be coming back to this lunar eclipse because it is fundamental for this year energetically. Okay. Now the combination of these energies bring into focus six ray energies through the Mars, Neptune, and Pisces, and the process of the adjustment represented by Chiron. Now we note the relation between Saturn in Pisces and Moon in Pisces, the decanate of Scorpio, and the rulership of Scorpio Pisces by Neptune Pluto. All these energies activate all the angles of her chart. Okay? It means Cancer, Capricorn, and Pisces and Virgo, right? Now, we continue with the instruction where DK says to her, you have reached the age of 60. Or is it a little more, my brother? And have not yet broken it. It means she did not break the sixth ray hold on her. Therefore, he says, your sole purpose has not yet been fulfilled. Now, sole purpose is indicated primarily by the Neptune as the sole esoteric ruler of her Cancer ascendant. Has not been fulfilled, Jupiter, her second ray soul ruler. So this Jupiter-Neptune energies indicates that. The difference between your attitude, he says now, and your attitude 30 years ago is that then you did not realize what it was all about, and now you do. Then you had in reality no responsibility, which is very much Saturn energy, for you did not know the nature of the task to be done. But through soul contact, you do know now what the problem is, and your responsibility to do something definite is consequently heavy. So he's directly telling her here, you know, what she is facing in order to fulfill that soul purpose. Because up to this age, 63, she failed to do so. Now, the transiting Jupiter-Neptune opposition across, can we bring now the quadra wheel, please? You see that Jupiter and Neptune across, as they move, they will come opposing to each other, okay? In early April, through the Virgo Pisces polarity and the 4 and 10 houses. Because this is important because they are also the rulers of Virgo and Pisces. Okay, Jupiter, Neptune. And Neptune is the esoteric ruler of the Cancer ascendant. And in August, that year, the solar arc, Jupiter, will reach exact square to the natal Neptune, further emphasize the importance of this relation between the Jupiter, Neptune, and Virgo Pisces energies, which, as we have seen, has already been emphasized, this Virgo Pisces, okay? Now, the transiting Chiron, activating the natal Venus-Saturn square, and progressed and natal Neptune, okay? That is the adjusting energy of the Chiron in relation to these energies of Venus, Saturn, and Neptune. All these energies indicating the adjusting process, because that is her last chance, you see, to do something about it, in order that she can fulfill her soul's purpose. Now, in 1939, CDP was 63 years old, okay? And has reached the peak of the 7-year cycle of crisis between the age 56 and 63rd years. And the relevant reference you can find about this is in Esoteric Psychology 2, page 53, where we have this statement from DK there, for the remaining years of life, there should be an increasingly strong relationship between the soul and its vehicle, leading to another crisis between the 56th and 63rd years. According to that crisis will depend the future usefulness of the person and whether the ego or the soul continues to use the vehicles on into old age, or whether there is a gradual withdrawal of the indwelling entity, it means of the soul. Okay? Now this is a very important reference to the process which is, you know, she would have to go through. In November 1931, CDP received her first instruction from DK, which covered the period from November 1931 until June 1933. And in April 1932, she was 56 years old. Okay? Now, in October 1931, we bring the chart of the solar eclipse, okay, for October, 11th of October, 1931. You see it on your screen, where the eclipse was in 17 Libra 15, and was activating a Saturn, Mars Saturn midpoint, which is found in exactly 17 Libra. You don't see it here, but if you calculate it, it is in 17 degree Libra. It means that solar eclipse in 17 Libra has activated this Mars Saturn midpoint. And Mars Saturn midpoint is carried by the natal Jupiter, which is her second ray soul ruler. So this is a very important contact, you see, because it's involving the soul energy here, and a very important Mars Saturn energies, very testing, of very testing nature. The eclipse also formed sextile to the progressing Uranus, which is found at the time of the eclipse at 16 degree of Leo 39. And activating, transiting Uranus in 17 Aries as the esoteric ruler of Libra. You don't see this here because we would need to put the quadrivial back in order to see this happening. Could we put the quadrivial for that? If we have it, I don't know if we have it, that quadrivial, but if we don't, that people would have to see that. When I said, you know, that the eclipse, which was falling in 17 degree Libra, okay, was forming sextile to the progressing Uranus, which you see there in Leo, okay, and activating the transiting Uranus also in Aries, which was going at the time in 17 degree of Aries, okay, and Uranus is the esoteric ruler of Libra. Now,
I don't think I have the right quadrivial up.
Okay, this is just, it is not exact quadrivial for that eclipse because we wanted to show it separately on one chart, okay? And the quadrivial had to be put together with that eclipse for the people, okay? For that period. This is just an indication of certain energies, okay? Where they are falling at the time of all the other levels of energies happening simultaneously, okay? Now, the activation of the Mars Saturn midpoint by Uranus in relation to Libra is bringing the focus on a very important but difficult decision she had to face at the age of 63. Basically, what we have here that the eclipse, you see, for the 1931 has already initiated a process here, which was going on through her life. The 7-year cycle of crises and her training under Master DK with the first instruction in November 1931 was initiated by the solar eclipse in October 1931. That's why the importance of that eclipse, okay? Which has to be put together with all the other transits and progression happening in October. We cannot deal with all these extra details in order to show this because it is a very time-consuming process. Now, a crisis is conditioned primarily by Saturn, as we know. And at the time of the eclipse, the transiting Saturn was in 17 Capricorn. And together with the transiting Uranus in 17 Aries, activating the eclipse in 17 Libra, the progressed Uranus and the Mars Saturn midpoint all in 17 degrees. That's why the importance of that eclipse, because in the exactly the same degree, 17 degree, it activated a very important energies, okay? Now, Mars and Saturn are an important testing energies, being strongly related to Scorpio and Capricorn. Mars ruling Scorpio and Saturn Capricorn. And this brings intensified activity of the sixth ray through Mars and third ray through Saturn. And when these energies are rightly utilized, there comes liberation, Uranus, from form, indicated by the progressed and transiting Uranus activation of this Mars-Saturn midpoint. We know that CDP was strongly conditioned by the sixth ray on her three levels of personality. And by the third ray, transmitted through her Cancer ascendant. And she was all her life struggling for liberation and detachment, which is indicated by the natal moon Mars square. Okay? You see, we cannot show simultaneously all the different charts here, but by all these energies, you can find them yourselves in the natal chart, in the quadrivial, and in the charts of the eclipses, which, you know, I am giving all the information about. Now, the 3-6 race are also emphasized by the Saturn-Neptune natal sextile in her chart and the aspects to the Cancer ascendant, where the Neptune is the esoteric ruler. You see, we are dealing with energies related to her soul purpose fulfillment here, and they are not easy energies, okay, to master. We are also told that the 63rd year is in the life of all disciples the year of crisis and of supreme opportunity. So we should prepare for it. Like CDP had to prepare for this year, 1939, okay? Because the soul is making very important decision. That's why the strong emphasis on Libra, which is a sign of choices and decision. And that's why the importance of that eclipse in Libra. And we will find two other eclipses falling, you know, emphasizing that Libra. But the first eclipse prior to the first instruction in which we are looking now at the screen in 1931 initiated the whole process. Okay. Now in July 19, 1939, the solar arc Uranus in 17 Libra reached the exact contact with the natal Mars Saturn midpoint in 17 Libra, the sign of decision, where Uranus is the esoteric ruler. Saturn has its exaltation there, and Mars has its detriment there. So all the energies, Mars, Saturn, and Uranus, are emphasized by this relation of the Uranus, solar arc Uranus in 17 Libra and Mars Saturn midpoint in 17 Libra, reaching exact contact. Okay, July 19, 1939. Now, Mars Saturn combination can be interpreted as everything else on different levels, but one of them indicates also ending or death. Okay? In this case, it could indicate the start of a possible withdrawal of the soul from incarnation. Because on the 5th of November 1940, the next year, which is she died, it is the day and year of her death. And at that day and year, now the progressed Uranus in 17 reached 17 degree Leo and making exact sextile to this Mars Saturn midpoint in 17 Libra. You see, before it was the solar arc Uranus reaching this Mars Saturn midpoint. Now the progressed Uranus, it is putting the finalizing sort of contact there on that Mars Saturn indication its end, in this case death. And we will look at this closer in the next webinar when we will deal with the instruction for 1940. Okay. Now, we continue with the instruction on page 524 there, where DK says, the glamour of ties and relationships has held you for years. The personality umbilical cord, which is primarily Cancer and Moon, ruler of Cancer ascendant, and Cancer decanate of Pisces midheaven there, The NATO chart, if we have it somewhere, a BL would help here, but they can see it also in the quadrivium, because it's the inner chart of the quadrivium. Strong personality ties, you know, all six ray energy there. And he says, this personality, umbilical cord, still links you to your children. We see the moon in the fifth house of children there, okay? In the natal chart. And he says, it should have been severed or broken, and rightly so, which is a Pluto as ruler of the moon in Pisces, decanate of Scorpio, with its first ray of destructing or breaking quality. It should have been broken, he said, several years ago. It would have been of real benefit both to you and to them. This you know well when the glamour of the responsibilities of motherhood is not upon you. You have to realize now that you have no such responsibility. Now, you know, the responsibility of motherhood was her career. Because you see, the career is the midheaven in the Pisces, in the Cancer decanate of Pisces, with the moon ruling their Cancer, with the Neptune. That was a career. She had no other career, only being a mother. Okay? And this was another problem for her. You know, to break these very close ties to the people she loved, particularly to her children. Now, again, you know, we have a strong focus on the moon and Cancer, which is indicated by the lunar eclipse in May on the natal moon, which we already looked at, okay, with its Neptune-Pluto midpoint on that moon, okay? Where the transiting Pluto activates the natal and progressed Mars and progressed Neptune as the transmitters of the sixth ray in relation to glamour of motherhood and ties, relationship, and severing of the personality umbilical cord. Now, Mars, Neptune, and Pluto are the dispositors of the moon in Pisces decanate of Scorpio, placed in the fifth house of children. Okay? And I don't know, I'm just thinking if that quadra will at least would not help with some of the energies here, at least to some extent, because the transiting nodes at that time were in Aries and Libra across the 5-11 houses. You see them even there, right? Well, but not particularly. Do we see those transiting nodes there?
Yes, they're in Taurus here because this is 1939, but yes.
Yes. Which activate the progress Chiron in Aries. You see it there? Progress Chiron in Aries. Right. Natal Mars in the same degree, 29, natal Mars, ruler of Aries, and the natal node axis in Virgo Pisces. You see? These are energies which are activated here, okay? At the time also of the lunar eclipse in May. Neptune and Pluto, as the rulers of the Virgo Pisces, you see these Virgo Pisces energies and the Neptune Pluto are repeatedly coming up from different times through the 1939 and different transits and progression. And also the nodal axis across the 4-10 houses, okay, the natal axis of the nodal, of the nodes, and of the MC in the Cancer decanate of Pisces, indicating that, as I said, she made her, the motherhood, her career, okay? Because they are emphasizing the energies on that MCIC, which is a 4th and 10th houses. 4th house is also family, okay? It's a Cancer house, basically. Now, the October lunar eclipse, if we can find it, in 3 Taurus 56, right? It activated the progressed and solar arc Neptune. You see, we have another eclipse here in 3 degree Taurus, where is found her natal and also natal Neptune progressed and solar arc. So the Neptune is emphasized here in relation to that a Pisces midheaven. Okay, and the solar arc moon is found in sextile to this Pisces midheaven, and the progressed moon was entering Pisces and activating the solar arc nodes. Now, it would be best to put the quadra wheel back, that we at least can see the movement, maybe, of that progressed moon. You see that progress moon there, but it has to reach from that, it's already in the 9th house, right? And it's moving from the Aquarius, it would be moving to Pisces, that progress moon, okay? And also activating the solar arc node axis. Okay. The transiting Jupiter, which is the ruler of Pisces, is in aspect to this progressed moon through its transiting movement and to those solar arc nodal axes. It's important relation of that Jupiter to that Pisces midheaven. As a ruler, okay? Transiting Neptune through Virgo and the 4th house, a ruler is also ruler of the Virgo, okay? It's found transiting in Virgo, but is ruler of Virgo also, is veiled esoterically by the moon. Moon veiled by Neptune is an esoteric ruler of Virgo. Okay? And the transiting Neptune emphasized this. And transiting Mercury through Scorpio, which we would not find exactly there, because you know, we would have to keep moving the quadra wheel. Mercury transiting is moving very fast, okay? It's just to give you some idea that what you need to look for. It's activating the progressed nodal axis, okay? So the nodal axes are here emphasized on all levels, through transit, through progression, major progression, natal and solar arc, okay? Where Mercury and Neptune are the rulers, you see, Virgo, Pisces, we're coming back to these energies now through the rulership of Virgo ruling, Mercury ruling Virgo and Neptune Pisces, okay? It means the energies are affecting her both from the personality and soul levels, according if they are the exoteric or esoteric rulers. And the strong involvement of the nodes indicates the final opportunity to face clearly her destiny here and soul's purpose, and make the choice with that Libra energy strongly emphasized between the repetition of the deeply built habit, the moon, of thoughts and feelings of the past life's pattern again in the next life, or free herself from the past through utilization of the will and courage of the soul. This was a very difficult year for her. You see, that 63rd year of a major decision. Okay. Now we continue with the instruction, page 524, where DK says, forgive me for my plain speaking, my brother, but I seek to see you free before the time of passing over into the clear cold light comes to you. Now, what he's actually telling her, that she is close to death. Okay? And he wants her to do something before that happens. And she has not much time. Okay? This is the indication here with that sentence, passing over into the clear cold light of the impending death. And he says, I know whereof you are capable. You are not using the power of your secondary soul, that's the Jupiter, which can laugh and sever or cut at the same time, which can convey the deepest love subjectively and protectingly. This is indication of the unexpressed secondary Gemini intercepted in the 12th house, okay, which transmits a powerful second ray. And yet, he says, on the outer plane can set people free. She didn't see the soul in those she loved, you see. Now, Uranus square moon, natally as ruler of the Cancer first house, also representing the physical plane, okay? When he's speaking on the outer plane, on the physical plane, letting people free. If she relate to them as souls, not as personalities. And he says, let me repeat again. You have no responsibility for your children and never have had since they reached maturity. and the right to live their own lives. You have earned the right to your own soul's freedom and expression. You see, he is speaking very directly to her because he wants her to really realize the facts of the situation now. And she has not much time, you know, to really do something here unless she realizes the urgency of the situation. So the secondary soul, you see, which is focused here on the love, which can protect and at the same time release this. Okay? Now, do we have a quadra wheel for the April 13, 1939 or not? If not, we keep this one. Yes, we do. Okay, now here we see the transiting Chiron activates the natal Venus. You see near the ascendant, the transiting Chiron is moving close to the ascendant, activating the Venus in the subjective area in Gemini, unexpressed love, and of the soul on its own plane. This is the area, the 12th house represents the subjectivity and of the soul on its own plane. And Chiron is bringing, you know, a correction here. She need to express that love out from the subjective onto objective plane. Now the progressed Venus activates the natal midheaven with its Chiron and Neptune midpoint and brings relation to the transiting Chiron over the natal ascendant, solar arc and progressed Neptune. You will find all these energies in this quadra wheel, which is the esoteric ruler, the Neptune, okay, of the Cancer ascendant, and a strong activity through the year between the Jupiter Neptune, as we have already mentioned that. And you see even the polarity in this quadra wheel, the transiting Jupiter Neptune through the Pisces Virgo polarity. Okay? And the transiting Jupiter activation of the natal progressed and solar arc Jupiter, which is a second ray soul ruler through the whole year of 1939. Okay? And now, following the instruction on page 525, DK says, will you take it now and free yourself? Uranus again. Or will you muddle through the remainder of this incarnation and in another life have to face the identical problem of family relationships and financial responsibility? This is a question he's putting to her. Okay, that's the Cancer ruler of the second house of money there indicated. As yet, you have solved nothing, he says to her, but you have made progress and your eyes are open. Only fear plus the deliberate refusal to take the strong and right steps holds you back from a full participation in the service of humanity and in my work. Now, fear. You know, those who follow these webinars, you know, fear was a fundamental problem. And it's related to the natal moon in the Pisces decanate of Scorpio, in the degree of the fourth test of Scorpio dealing with fear. Refusing to take the right steps, strong steps, but you know, that requires a will, and there was a lack of will, which was preventing her to take these steps. And you know, she was affecting her service here to humanity and to the group work there. He says, my work. She's facing basically this decision, what to do here, what she want to do. Is she going to utilize that will and start to deal with this process? The master knows that she has not much time, you know, to put things right. So he speaks here very firmly to strengthen her will and to make the right decision. And you know, the will is emphasized by the summit of the tower, the highest abstract subplane of the mental plane, okay, where we find also the abstract mind. Now, now we show the April solar eclipse in Aries Libra axis in 28 Aries. Okay? We see the Aries Libra axis. The Libra is emphasized again. Okay? With the choice and the decision to be taken. Okay? And together with the transiting Pluto, which was going at that time in Cancer and activating the progressed Chiron in Aries and progressed Venus in Cancer, which is a ruler of Libra, you know, again, choices and decision. Okay? And the transiting Uranus at that time of this eclipse, which is the liberating energy, an esoteric ruler of Libra, activates the progressed and solar of Uranus, because only the right decision will set her free. Okay? Then we have another eclipse in October 12, is a solar eclipse in Libra, October 12th. Eclipse chart. Yes, now it's Libra Aries axis. Okay, in 18 Libra directly brings into focus the same energy. So you see how the initial October 1931 eclipse initiated this Libra energy, affecting her to the end of her life from that year. Okay? The transiting Saturn was moving through Aries and having its exaltation in Libra is at that time in opposition to the transiting Venus in Libra and both forming T-square with the progressed Venus in Cancer in the second house of finance, related to the financial responsibility she carried for her family and children. Now, as we have seen the eclipse chart here, maybe it would be good to put the quadra wheel. At least we would see some movement, indication of the transits. Because at the time of this October solar eclipse, October 12th, you know, there is also some activity going on which have to be, you know, looked together. The transiting Pluto in Cancer, as you see there, in this quadrawheel, is related to the moon in Pisces decanate of Scorpio, being the ruler there. Okay, it's ruler of Scorpio and esoteric ruler of Pisces. A very important carrying energy of the first ray, which is a destructive will, okay, which needs to cut all that what is holding her. And the transiting Uranus, you know, which is going there through Taurus, is it? Reflecting the natal moon Uranus square and is related to the Scorpio moon through having its exaltation in Scorpio. Okay? All these relationships are very important because they are linking all these energies together from different levels of the movement. Now, the transiting nodes across Aries Libra over the progressed Chiron, Aries Libra, of the 11 fifth houses, okay? The Chiron is repeating the necessity and need for adjustment. Okay? Now, the words of DK following the instruction when he says, you have so much to give. I refer not here to money, though that too must be included in the life offering of a disciple. At this time of world stress, I refer to greater and deeper gifts which you possess and are apt to refuse to recognize. She's refusing to recognize even her gifts. And he's saying, a loving heart, her gift, a mind enriched by years of study and lives of service and by a loyalty and a gift for friendship, which is rare indeed to find. You see, she refused to recognize all these facts, even of her gifts, and use them. Now, the source of deeper gifts is found in the causal body of the soul. And the fifth house is considered the mansion of the soul, or the causal body, ruled by the sun as the transmitter of the second ray and by Leo as the force of the self-conscious soul. Now, in her case, the fifth house is ruled by Libra. And its rulers, Venus and Uranus, are both aspecting the sun found in Sagittarius decanate of Aries, natally, and Uranus is placed in Sagittarian decanate of Leo. So you see that Sun and Leo is brought into focal point through this relationship related to the causal body of the soul in the fifth house. The house of children, her critical moon is found there. Now Jupiter, the ruler of Sagittarius and her soul ruler, together with the Sun, transmit the second ray and rule also the heart center. The Aries 11th house as a focal point of friendship is emphasized, you know. In the 11th house, we find also our friends, not only our enemies, okay? And it's an area of sharing, of giving. And it's ruled by Mars, Aries, right? And Mars is found in conjunction with Venus, naturally, in the 12th house, which is the Piscean house. In the subjective area of the soul on its own plane. And Venus as the ruler of the Libra fifth house, and you know Venus and Mars are in opposition, are in conjunction and opposition the natal Jupiter in the sixth house, in Sagittarius, okay? Now we note that the April and October solar eclipses in the polarity Aries Libra and Libra Aries fell across this 5-11 polarity of houses, emphasizing her primarily focal energies which she needed to work with. Okay, particularly through this 1939 year, emphasized by all these eclipses. Now we continue with the instruction on page 525, where DK says, your soul contact is established. And this is a fact, you see, he's bringing to her all the facts upon which you can count. The vitalization of your physical life is due to the cramping to which you have subjected yourself and your pronounced inner subjective withdrawal to the mental and astral worlds. The subjective area there, okay? Venus, we can see as the mental world in the 12th house, conjunct Mars. Mars is the astral world. And 12th house, it's subjective area of withdrawal to these worlds in the intersected Gemini there. He says, you do not express the reality which you are upon the physical plane. She does not express all the subjective power she has on the physical plane. Again, the Venus-Mars conjunction opposition Jupiter in the exoteric placement in the intercepted Sagittarius unexpressed energy in the sixth house of service and in everyday life, okay? He says the thought forms which surround you drain you of vital force. It's primarily Saturn, a semi-square, the Sun, and T-square with a Venus-Mars, together with that Jupiter. Her major T-square, which she had to work through all her life. Not an easy one. And he says, and yet, physically speaking, he says, you have no organic trouble or disease. Okay? These thought forms sap your vitality and are definitely destructive to yourself and to others. And of these thought forms, there are three. But he is not naming directly these thought forms. But some of these, which, you know, he repeated to them through the all the instruction, could be the suspicion, a major glamour for her, self-pity, or inferiority complex. Okay? So they were sapping that vitality and were blocking her progress, basically. Continuing with the words of DK, he says, now this is something which is bringing a new energies for us to look at. He says, I am giving you a special exercise. Go into your garden twice a week and meet me there. Discover first of all the point within the garden which I have magnetized. At that spot within your garden, talk your problems aloud to me, pausing at intervals and listening for my replies or the replies of your soul. We shall speak when silence of the outer life and of the personality has been achieved. Keep nothing back, but talk aloud to me. Do this with a listening and attentive ear, and by the May full moon, you may find that we may have talked the matter out. The glamour may have dissipated, the thought forms be destroyed, and the path shines clear before your eyes. Now we know she built her garden on the abstract levels of the mental plane, represented by the egoic lotus as a symbol of a beautiful flower. It appears that the magnetized point within the garden where they conducted the dialogue was the first mental subplane where we find the higher or abstract mind and spiritual telepathy, and where reached also the summit of the tower which she created in her garden, and where nothing of the personality nature can reach them, and where they could speak without interruption. Remember that I am giving you my interpretation of the master words here, okay? We know she belonged to the group of telepathic communicators who were learning to be receptive to the impressions from the master and from each other. We also know she was very psychic, spiritually impressionable, with six-ray brain, making her intuitive and astral buddhic. She had to listen to the replies coming from her soul and from DK, and for that she needed open channel to both the soul and the master. Now, in order to do that, she had to utilize the bridge or antakarana from the soul to the abstract mind, where the soul can always reach her freely. Without the Antakarana, I don't think DK would be able to communicate with her. But he knew she had the Antakarana functioning. And how we learn here the importance of the seed thoughts during the 8 months of meditation in 1938, which he had to ponder upon with care, and which involved the tower in her garden. Now, this meditation had to happen prior to this special exercise in order to make this Antakarana functioning to some measure, which he had to construct through the 8 months of those meditations. Okay? Now, it was Master DK who magnetized the point within the garden, because the magnetic energy had to come from the buddhic plane, where we find the hierarchy. And its radiation is projected as attractive radiation, and is definitely in the nature of the second ray implemented by the magnetic aspect. Now, the heart center is a radiating center of love, and speech is an expression of a heart. The sound of her voice must come from her heart, the heart on the mental plane we're talking about, with a buddhic heart. And sounding force creates loving radiation between her and the master. So the second ray magnetism indicates the heart center on the mental plane, represented by the last petals of the egoic lotus, and a possible involvement of the sacrifice last petal, or the eighth petal, related to the second initiation, which was in front of her. And the sacrifice petals are found on the first abstract level of the mental plane, where the summit of the tower also is found, and the abstract mind. Now, she possessed selflessness. He was telling her so through the instructions, which is a major quality, you know, for selflessness to be present for the second initiation, to be taken. And it means possessing this this quality of selflessness indicates she was not far from taking that second initiation. Okay? As I have expressed my opinion through other webinars, how highly she was developed on the inner plane, she could actually take the second and third in one life. That would depend how she would deal with the sixth ray energy in the next life. Okay? Now, selflessness is a quality of Aquarius, which is ruled esoterically by Jupiter, her sole ruler. And Aquarius rules also the ninth house of the abstract mind. And you know, the 11th house of the relationships, of the sharing and giving. She had a giving, loving nature. Okay? That's why he says she had a friendship which is so rare to find. Now the unfoldment of this eighth petal or sacrifice love petal is unfolded through the conscious and steady application of the powers of the soul to the service of humanity. And DK emphasized the importance of service through the instructions. Not only this one, by telling her that nothing counts in the long run, by loving service to all. Because she didn't seem to grasp the importance and usefulness of the service she can give. It appears that the other purpose of utilization of the garden as the symbol of the egoic lotus for this special exercise was the focus of the eighth petal, which is related to the first abstract level of the mental plane, and is conditioned by the first ray, Scorpio, Pisces, and Pluto energies. On the reversed wheel, I should add. These are the energies influencing her moon, her most difficult area, which is placed in that Pisces decanate of Scorpio, where that Pluto rules. We know that her soul's choice for the physical body or brain was the sixth ray, which is different from the usual ray 3 or 7. And this made her intuitive or astral buddhic. You see, we are discovering another reason for the choice of that unusual sixth ray on the brain and physical body. Now, this was linking her with the conditioning 2-4-6 line of the vegetable kingdom and with the green devas of the vegetable kingdom working with magnetization along the line of the second ray. And this was obviously linked to her own 2-4-6 line, greatly emphasized on her own levels. We know she loved flowers, and a pink, which is the sixth ray color, Mandevilla vine or Brazilian jasmine still bears her name, the Alice Dupont Mandevilla vine plant. Now, there is a difference between words and sounds. The word veils the thought or idea, and the sound makes it possible to manifest in the matter of a particular plane. Now, this is the reason why DK asked her to talk aloud to him. The sound of her words produce response in the deva substance on the higher mental plane where she created her garden. And the first effect of sound is light, which was causing the revelation of the glamour to be dissipated and the thoughts which needed to be destroyed and clearing the path. Now, we are told there are two great devas belonging to the green group on the mental levels from whom we can receive a definite teaching telepathically. Remembering spiritual telepathy on the first abstract subplane. Now, it was a deva of the causal level where we find the egoic lotus activated by DK's magnetization and her own established magnetic field between the pituitary body and pineal gland, and working through her soul, which was aiding the process here. I think it was her own magnetic field which enabled her to locate the magnetized point. And DK knew this. That's why the first thing he asked her, she should find this magnetized point. Because she knew, he knew he, she was capable of that. We have an analogy between the highly developed green devas of the vegetable kingdom here, contacted principally along the lines of magnetization, and the green devas on the mental plane. Now, the color green brings focus, her Cancer ascendant transmitting the green third ray, and Neptune, the esoteric ruler of Cancer, is conditioned on its own levels by the 2-4-6 line, where the fourth ray is found on its personality, a sixth ray on its soul level of the Neptune, and second ray on the monadic level. And on a Buddhic plane, the Neptune expresses pure reasoning of the third ray. Now, the third ray rules also the throat center on the mental plane, represented by the knowledge petal of the egoic lotus, utilized through her speech. Now, DK told her that by the May full moon, they may have, through dialogue, dissipated the glamour and destroyed the thought forms, which indicate the utilization of the first ray and of the abstract mind conditioning the first atomic subplane of the mental plane, where the first ray energy is very strongly influencing, as the place of the dialogue. Okay? Now, it appears that all the three layers of the egoic lotus, representing the throat, heart, and head centers, were involved. Now, the full moon or lunar eclipse in May, that's why, you know, that lunar eclipse in that May, where the process was concluded of the dialogue, which started in January, fell on that moon, as we already discussed, in the fifth house. And this indicates that the purpose also of this special exercise is to free her from the suspicion and fear of her children and those she loved. Now, the destructive will of the first ray, represented by Pluto as the dispositor of the moon in Scorpio, an abstract mind ruled by Mercury and Saturn. We have three energies here in Pluto, Mercury, and Saturn. Now, from January to May, the progressed Pluto was in exact semi-square to the natal Mercury in Aries. and transiting Saturn through Aries was activating this Mercury-Pluto semi-square exactly on the day of the lunar eclipse in May. Now, Aries is the conditioning energy also of the first abstract level of the mental plane. So the presence of Mercury in Aries, where it is the esoteric ruler, Mercury rules Aries esoterically, and of Saturn in Aries, and both activating the progress Pluto as the ruler of the summit of the tower, symbolized by the Pisces MC, is very significant in this process. Particularly that the exact alignment of these energies happened with the May lunar eclipse or full moon, where DK said they should, or may, clear the field of the blockages. Now, during the period from January the May, the progress moon, as we have already seen there or discussed through the ninth house, and also activating the Mercury-Pluto semi-square and the natal solar arc Pluto. Okay, so the moon, the most important energy which she need to deal with and pass the test of fear there, keeps coming back. The transiting Neptune in Virgo is also activating the natal Pluto and progress moon as the esoteric ruler of Virgo, the moon, veiling Neptune. Neptune and Pluto form the midpoint carried by the natal moon and are also the dispositors of the moon placed in Pisces decanate of Scorpio. I am emphasizing and bringing together again these energies. Moon and Neptune are the rulers of Cancer ascendant. And together with the Mercury, Saturn, Pluto, rule the MC in Cancer decanate of Pisces, the IC in Capricorn decanate of Virgo, and the descendant in Capricorn, thus all the angles of the chart are emphasized again. That's how important this process is here. Not an easy, but necessary for this disciple somehow to master. This indicates the significance of utilization of these energies in this special exercise, but also of the role the garden played in this, not only in this exercise, but also in her life and the lives of others who were using it and still use it. Now, the final words of the Master. May the rest and peace of consecration be yours, and my blessing rests upon you. It is not in appreciation of you that I take this time with you. Ancient karmic ties with me, your elder brother, and the deep love which DRS, which is initial of Alice Bailey, unchangingly bears for you, are the reasons adequate to me. Besides, my love is yours. We are on the same soul ray. So DK is concluding this instruction with blessing and explanation why he was taking the time with her. Was the soul love, karmic relationship, and deep love for her from Alice Bailey. And this concludes the webinar. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Elena, for another very deep and insightful look at the instruction for CDP and at her various times in her life.
Well, I brought some new ideas with this, which somehow I arrived intuitively through the process as I was working.
That's always the case. We always pick up something new every time we read DK, and not only about ourselves, but about, you know, the disciples especially. Certain things just fall into place at certain times, and you really help us to understand that through your deep analyses here. So, thank you.
Well, thank you for your help also. You know, I couldn't do it by myself here presenting all this. And unfortunately, you know, in this type of presentation, we cannot move the wheels. And you know how consuming time, I don't know how long it took this webinar now.
I think we're about 1 hour, 45 minutes into it. I think we're still around the normal time frame. So,
well, but if we were, you know, going through all the different quadra wheels, moving them, including those eclipses that people can see exactly in details, it would have been, you know, a time demanding process, you know. That's why I, through this presentation in this way, even though I am leaving for people who are really interested in this to find all the detailed astrology themselves. But all the information, you know, I have given of the dates and times and so on. So.
Right. And we hope that individuals watching your webinars will, in fact, do that. So,
well, that is my inspiration, you know, that present something which is not found just anywhere by anybody. And not maybe some people, but, you know, at least through this webinar, that it is something different, you know.
Well, thank you. And we'll say good night, good morning, good day, wherever you are.
Yes, thank you.
Everyone.
And I hope you're not recording this.
Yes.
You are?
Here, you want me to hold on just 1 second and let me stop the recording and then...